Praise God. Father, we thank you for this another opportunity to minister to these, your precious sheep. Thank you, Lord, that revelation knowledge will flow freely, uninterrupted and unhindered by any satanic or demonic force. Father, I pray that you will speak through my vocal cords and think through my mind, none of me and all of you. And we give you all of the honor and all of the glory and all of the praise for what will take place this afternoon in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, give the Lord a shout before you sit down and just give him praise and honor today. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, go with me again to the book of Genesis, chapter 39. Boy, that must have been a good sandwich you had for lunch. Genesis, chapter 39. We are talking about balancing this message of prosperity. And we're talking about dealing with undeniable laws of prosperity. Now let's begin in Genesis chapter 39. And I just want to take you line upon line, precept upon precept. Go here a little, there a little. And before the afternoon's out, you ought to be able to go and make something happen. Amen. I won't even show you how to change some stuff. Amen. Genesis chapter 39. Verse 1, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down hither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of the master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person, and he was well favored. Now, we began here, I believe it was Tuesday morning, at verse 2, when he says, and the Lord was with Joseph. We talked about conjunctions. How conjunctions in the English language are used to connect phrases and clauses together. And whatever is on one side of that conjunction is in relationship with what's going on the other side. If you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. And so it is necessary to be both willing and obedient. So there is always going to be a connection there. Well, here it says Joseph was a prosperous man, or he said, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Well, that lets me know that the Lord being with Joseph is the root reason why Joseph was a prosperous man. So prosperity can't just be defined by what you possess. Your bank account can't be the only thing to define your prosperity. But it is the fact that it is who you are with and not just what you have. Who you're with. And the Lord was with Joseph. And now watch this. And he was a prosperous man. Now the Amplified reads like this. But the Lord was with Joseph, and he, though a slave. Now I like this part because he, though a slave, see, the Lord being with this slave made him prosperous. Him being a slave wasn't going to be the reason why he wasn't going to prosper. But the Lord was with Joseph. He, though he was a slave, he was successful, though he was a slave. And he was a prosperous man, though he was a slave. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So your occupation, no matter how, you know, many people think it's a good one or a bad one, your occupation by itself still won't determine you, you know, being prosperous or not prosperous versus who you're with. And so we concluded that your prosperity is defined by your relationship with God. That God and your relationship with him will define your prosperity. He was a prosperous man because the Lord was with him. And so the root reason for his successful, prosperous life was God being with him. And so we now must define our prosperity and our success based on our relationship with God. Because when God is with you, you should expect to be a prosperous and successful person because the Lord is with you. Amen. Amen. And so how do we define your prosperity? By your relationship with God, right? Okay, the Lord's with you. You're prosperous because the Lord's with you. You're prosperous because the Lord's with you. Say it out loud. I'm prosperous because the Lord's with me. Say it again. I'm prosperous because the Lord's with me. Say this out loud. My prosperity is determined by the Lord being with me. Therefore, the Lord being with me is what makes me prosperous and successful. Okay, don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that that defines your prosperity, your relationship with God. And you know, even though a slave, somebody said, yeah, but Brother Dollar, all I do is sell cars for a living. Even though a car salesman, amen. Even though a janitor, whatever it may be, what's going to be the real reason for your prosperous life? Now, see, some people can have an occupation that brings a lot of money, but money by itself won't define prosperity. So you can have a lot of money and still not be prosperous. We'll look at that a little later. Are you listening to what I'm saying? But God defines my prosperity. Now, since that is the truth, we went on and we showed you, I believe it was St. John, chapter 10. Let's go there. And this is so important that we reestablish this foundation again. Then I'll just go straight on through it. So pray I don't get caught up in this. Do it all over again. Amen. Praise God. See stuff we didn't see the first time. Praise the Lord. Yeah, catch me up. All right, look at verse 10. John 10:10. Let's read out loud. Ready to read. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, notice something. He says, now, when the enemy showed up, we're going to make it very clear what he showed up to do, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But he says, now, I have come that you may have life. Now, that Greek word there for life is zoe. So I've come so you can have zoe life. I've come so you can have the very essence of God. I've come so you can have the very life of God, the stuff that makes God, God. I have come so that you can have zoe life. He came to kill, steal, and destroy, but I came to get something to you that you obviously didn't have at the time, or I would not have to come. So I've come so you can have something that you don't have. I've come that you might have zoe life, the very essence of God, the very life force of God, the stuff that makes God, God. Jesus said, I have come so you can get that stuff that makes God, God. Oh, Jesus. And then from that point, we went to, and here's what I'm saying. Most people, when they read the scripture, they read it like this. I have come that you may have living, to have good living. He says, I've come that you can have zoe life. Zoe life is what's going to affect your living. What he came to give you is what eventually is going to affect your living. Now, what we're going to look at today is how to get that Zoe life out so it can affect your living. See, when most people read that, I've come that you might have life, they're hearing this. I've come so I can have a good life out here. No, no, no. He says, I've come to give you the root to life. Like with Joseph, Joseph was prosperous because he had the root to prosperity, God. And he says, I've come to give you Zoe life, the root to successful living. Hallelujah. Now, we went over to Genesis chapter, help me out, one. Well, let's try it since nobody remembers. Genesis 1. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm ready this morning. I did my squats this morning. And oh, Jesus, you know. All right, now watch this. Verse 7, chapter 2, Genesis 2, 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The Amplified says, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath or the spirit of Zoe. That's what it was, the spirit of life, and man became a living being. One of the Jewish Bibles says that man breathed into him and man became another speaking spirit like God. Now, I gave an illustration to you on Tuesday morning where we took a piece of paper and it was one piece of paper, one piece of paper. And I start tearing the piece off and handing it off to different people. All right. Now, that me tearing it off and giving it to people, it didn't make it any less paper. It was still paper, even though I was tearing it off the original piece. And I was giving pieces off the original piece. I was taking a chip off the old block. It was still paper. Everybody still got paper. And what God was doing, he is Zoe. I mean, the very life of God. And what he was doing was taking a piece of his very life. And what he did is took a piece and put it in Adam. So that was no less God when it got in Adam than before God put it into Adam, praise the Lord. You follow what I'm saying? So man, oh, heshakakada. Well, we done bumped into something. And this is good. We bumped into this. So man was not created, or God never intended for Adam to be created a mortal man.
That's right.
Adam was created to be immortal, which means the life of God was also can be referred to as eternal life. That's eternal life that was put on the inside of that man. Adam was never supposed to die. That's why it took him 800 and some years to die. He wasn't supposed to die. Doctors today still examine the physical body and still don't understand why men die. Because it has the ability to regenerate itself, you see. And he was created. Listen to this, folks. He was created an immortal man. God created man to live forever, praise God. Why? Because he put in him eternal life. Hatash. Did you understand that? When God took a piece of himself and put it into Adam, he put eternal life into that man. And as long as eternal life was on the inside of Adam, it sustained him. Eternal life would cause him to live forever. Eternal life in him now is going to affect his living. Eternal life in Adam came up and affected his mind. And without one day of class, not one day of schooling, he named every living thing. So eternal life, Zoe life, got on his mind and caused him to operate on a level of intelligence that we hadn't reached yet with all the university studies we got. That'll let you know something. Get connected with God and he'll make you smarter. Yeah, the Bible says that eternal life, that Zoe life, will affect your mortal flesh. So that Zoe life coming up, it affects his mind, and then it spills over and it affected his body. We showed you now how Zoe life, Adam didn't need to have artificial clothing at the time, because like everything else that's born on the planet, you're born with your own natural coat. Somebody says, well, how come man doesn't have his natural? Why are we all sitting in here with artificial clothing on? Well, we lost our natural coat. Well, we didn't lose it. He lost it. Amen. And the Zoe life of God began to spill over, and yet it began to prosper him even where that's concerned. His nakedness could not be seen. He was not exposed. Why? Because he was covered with a manifestation that was coming from that Zoe life. He was covered with the glory of God that came forth out of the Zoe life that was in him, that was put in him. Eternal life, the very essence of God in this man, began to sustain him and began to affect his mind. It began to spill over on his physical body. It clothed him. It began to spill forth from his body, and it started affecting everything he went around. So literally, everywhere this man went possessed with Zoe life, things began to change, praise the Lord. He was going to be the carrier of that Zoe life, and moving outside of his realm where he was born, he was going to begin to change everything until the whole earth, like Brother Copeland said, would become a Garden of Eden, and then we'd have to go and get the next planet, the next planet, the next planet. I mean, God had this thing figured out because he put his self in a body, and that part of God sustained man's prosperity and success in every arena. Sickness couldn't get on him. Nothing could touch him because he was prospering from the Zoe life. Zoe life. And that's what happened. That's what happened with Joseph, man. Zoe life, because of who he was with, it caused them to be prosperous and successful. But then we see something in the garden. The very root of prosperity was attacked. When Adam disobeyed God, notice what happened. When he disobeyed God, life was interrupted. That's what God said, didn't he? God said, the day that you disobey me, you shall surely what? Die. Now, we know he didn't die as far as cease to live, but there was a separation that took place between Adam's life and the life of God. When that separation took place, that's called death. When you die, your spirit and soul separates from your physical body. Your physical body falls to the ground, and your spirit and soul, based on the decisions you made while you were in your body, will be absent from the body and present with the Lord or present with Satan, whoever was your Lord while you were alive. And so what happened was that this separation took place, a separation between the life, eternal life, Zoe of God. And now Adam is now trying to exist on his own. And immediately, when you separate yourself from the Zoe life of God, you're going to immediately move into lack. All of a sudden now, the guy's exposed. He now has to go and find artificial clothing. He hid himself because he was naked. All of a sudden now, he's got to work the ground and the sweat that's coming from his brow, because things are harder when Zoe life is not able to function and operate to give you the living you're supposed to have. And so there was a disconnect that took place there. And so the whole thing was leading towards, and Jesus now, go back to John 10, and now we'll look at that another way. I think we did this, and we're almost through with this. And I got 2 hours a day, so I ain't got to rush. Woo! First time I think I ever preached 2 hours, I believe it was in South Africa, and I was preaching on the law of receiving, and Sister Gloria looked at me, and she said, keep going. And I'm thinking, like, I'm tired. Keep going. And I kept on going. And another hour went on. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, I was dizzy. And but I don't get dizzy no more. I'm in shape. I must have been out of shape back then, praise the Lord. That's why you can't be all 350 pounds and eating Twinkies all your life. God can't use you. Now, don't get mad at me looking at me like, don't get on my food, Reverend. Preach on prosperity. No, you lost your prosperity over food. Mm-hmm. Somebody said, oh, an apple did that. Now, the Bible didn't say it was an apple. It could have been watermelon, all we know. All right, now watch this. Look at John again as a result of what we just talked about here. It's Zoe life. That's the root to your success and your prosperity. It always has been. That's the reason why a man who gets born again versus when he wasn't born again, it seems like he's more successful after he gets born again. Because he's tapped into some of that life. Now watch this in John 10. I want you to read this with the knowledge of what you understand from the book of Genesis and what happened. Now, look at it again, John 10:10. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Well, isn't that just what he showed up to do in the garden? Huh? He showed up to steal, to kill, and destroy. His attack was to separate man from this Zoe life. All right? But now notice what Jesus said. Jesus says, but I am come that you might have what? What kind of life? I have come that you might have Zoe, eternal life, the essence of God's life. I have come to put the chip that came off the block back in. Oh, Jesus. I've come to reconnect you. Hallelujah. Now watch this. I've come that you might have life and that you might have this Zoe life in abundance to the full till it overflows. Boy, that sounds similar. I want you to have this life like man was supposed to have it. In abundance to the full until it's affecting your mind again. What's that called? Wisdom. Hallelujah. Wisdom is the principal thing there. Watch that. And then I want it to overflow and I want it to get on your mortal flesh, this life. I want you to have life. Now see, most of the time we think, well, I want to live in abundance to the full till it overflows. That'll come when you learn how to deal with life in abundance to the full till it overflows. You see the difference? I'm making a distinction between your living and his life. You being possessed and overflowing with the life, the Zoe, the eternal life force of God that has been designed to be worn and to be a man's roots, for his success. The life of God, a man's roots for his success. A man's roots for his prosperity. And so what we've had to do is try to imitate the Zoe life of God through education, and there's nothing wrong with it, through, you know, strategic planning of how we can manipulate the system a little bit to get what we would call in our eyes success. But it's no good for you to have that success where you're making a lot of money at work, but your whole family is going to hell at home. That's not real prosperity. The life force of God will take care of every area of your life. And if you can tap into that, then praise God, you'll know what prosperity is all about. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So Zoe life, say this out loud. The Zoe life of God.
The Zoe life of God.
My root
to success
and prosperity. So you'll know where to go, see? So you know where to go. Now you're searching for success and prosperity, but we're going to all the wrong things to try to get it. It's the Zoe love of God. Yes, right. And my relationship with that life force in me. Now, go to John chapter 5. Let's trace this about 3 or 4 more scriptures and then we'll continue on. Isn't it something? You're hearing this same thing again and it's just still popping stuff in you, right?
Yeah.
That's what I figured out. I said, you know, I'm going to quit trying to preach something new every Sunday. I preached the same sermon for about a month and they thought it was a different sermon. It wasn't no different sermon. They didn't get it the first time I preached it, so I just kept preaching the same sermon. Same sermon. Month later, oh, Pastor, that was so good. I said, I've been preaching it for the last four weeks. And so I slowed up. I mean, Jesus ain't here yet. Ain't used me trying to preach everything like he's going to be here by tomorrow. Might as well take your time, because you didn't get all of it the first time you heard it. I could preach this one more time, and we'll get some more stuff. And then preach it again, and we'll get some more. And preach it again, and preach it about 20 more times, and then we'll be about ready. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, that anointing coming in this place, man, you know. Oh, Jesus. All right. Oh, Lord, let's see. John. St. John chapter 5. Oh, now. All right, now. So now it's a matter of understanding the practical parts of understanding how to reconnect with this Zoe life. Now look at John chapter 5, verse 26. John chapter 5, verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life, what? In himself. We see that very clearly. The Zoe life coming from God, and from God into his Son, the Zoe life. Now go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Praise God. That's what Jesus was demonstrating. Jesus was totally dependent on the Zoe life of God that was in him for his success and his prosperity. And it took care of every arena of his life. It took care of every arena of his life. And now watch this. St. John chapter 1. Let's start in the beginning. In the beginning was the what?
Word.
And the Word was with
God.
Okay, so the Word prospered, didn't it? Because
yeah.
Anything with God is going to be successful, right?
Yeah.
So the Word prospered, right?
Yeah.
All right, so. And the Word was with God. And watch this. And the Word what? So would it be all right if I said that the Word equals God?
Yes.
All right, now here's the point we did last time. We said, and the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, the Word, or him, God. And the question in the last session was, what's the common denominator between God and the Word? What's in God? Zoe life. That is his essence, right? And so now the Word was with God. So what's in that Word?
Zoe
life, right? So the common denominator between the Word and God is what?
Zoe.
Oh, Jesus. So that Bible that's on your lap is alive.
Amen.
Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Somebody said, oh, if I could see God, I could get some of that Zoe. No, but you can see that Word. And that Word is possessed with the very life of God. The same Word, Halabosha, the same Word that came out of the mouth of God right there on your lap. Full of life. And later on, that Word, let's keep reading. All things were made by him, the Word, or him, God. The common denominator is what?
Zoe
life. All right, now watch what I'm gonna do. All things were made by Zoe life. Huh? And without Zoe life was not anything made that was made. Huh? And in Zoe life was life. And the life, watch this, was the light of men. Now that original translation, if you study that word out, light, it is development. Says that Zoe life is the development of men. The Zoe life is the development of men. So Zoe life will develop men. Zoe life will, you hang around this Zoe life long enough, it'll develop men. Now, how am I to hang around with it? Well, the Word. I get in the Word. Watch this. And I let that Word get into me. Now, if I let that Word get into me, watch this. Somebody says, how do I get out of the Word? What's in the Word? Well, how do you get the juice out of an orange? You squeeze it, don't you? Well, that's why I said meditate in that Word day and night. Meditate in that Word day and night. And it'll do what? It'll make you prosperous, and you'll have what? good success. When you meditate in that word day and night. Somebody says, how long do I have to meditate in that word? Until it starts talking to you. Until the Zoe life starts instructing you. Koshatata. The key to having your life or your living connected with the Zoe life of God is this word. This word's the key. This word's the key. This word, Kosana, I heard that, is your prosperity connection. This word, oh my goodness, we're looking for schemes and all that other stuff. For a Christian, this word that possesses Zoe life is your prosperity connection. It's your success connection. This word. Hallelujah. This word is your prosperity connection. This word contains what you've been looking for. See, notice what Jesus said, and the word became what? Flesh. And he says, and I have come that I may give you life. But when he came, what did he give us? The word. Which is? For my word is? The Bible says my word is spirit and it is life. Yeah, you getting it? My word is spirit and it is life. Now, some people think they do a lot of spooky stuff and say they're spiritual, but the word makes you spiritual. See, if you're doing something, I can't find it in the Bible. You're not spiritual. You're spooky. Say it out loud. The word makes me spiritual. Say it out loud. The word makes me spiritual. Say it again. The word makes me spiritual. The word makes me successful. The word makes me prosperous. The word has in it Zoe life. And when you spend time in that word and that life in that word is going to connect you. Halalabasha. To that Zoe life, which is going to sustain you. Now, listen to this. The question now at this point is, how do I withdraw this abundance that has been deposited? Jesus said, I have come that you might have Zoe. So the day you got born again, Zoe life entered in. The day you got saved, the life of God came on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, would y'all see that? All right, now that I'll explain that. I'll explain that. Oh, yeah. Now, listen to me carefully. Man is a spirit. He possesses a soul. He lives in a physical body. Before you got born again, your body did whatever it wanted to do because it was being directed by an unrenewed mind, and your spirit needed to be born again. Didn't have the life of God in it. Born into the world as a sinner, shaped in iniquity. But then one day you heard Zoe. It was in the word. And you said, Jesus, come into my heart, save me. He came into your heart. Woof. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And you became a brand new species of being that never existed before. So what part of you got saved? Your what? Spirit. Your soul didn't get saved. Your body didn't get saved. Your spirit got saved. Now watch carefully. If we don't do something about your soul, and if we don't do something about your body, then your unrenewed mind and your out of control body together will dominate your spirit man and weaken it. Are you following me? But now you're born again, and born again, you need nourishing. I understand what was trying to be said, but maybe it was me. Maybe I took it the wrong way. Your spirit man is not, in a sense, perfect that it don't need nothing once you get saved. Or why would Paul say, desire the sincere milk of the word of God that you may, watch this, grow thereby. So that spirit that's born again needs to get the word of God. That's its nourishment. That's its food. It has to get food in order to grow thereby. So now once you're born again and the life of God is on the inside of you, now your mind has to be renewed with the word of God. Be renewed with the word of God. Be ye transformed or changed by the renewing of your mind. And renewing the mind is not a one-time event. It is a lifetime process. All right, now what happens now? Now that your mind is renewed and your spirit is born again, you're renewing your mind with the word. And every time you renew your mind with the word, you're feeding your spirit. And every time you renew your mind with the word, you're feeding your spirit. And sometimes you'll be getting the word and your mind might not understand completely what it's getting, but it's still feeding the spirit. And if you keep that up, it won't be long before the spirit man will start telling your mind some stuff. Are you following me? Now, once your mind is in the process of being renewed, and your renewed mind teams up with your born again spirit, then together they can go and make your body stop doing what it's doing and make it line up with what they're doing. Praise God. And your body has been used to doing all of this stuff that you let it do. But now your mind's renewed and your spirit's filled with the life of God. And you're eating that word and it's nourishing it. And you're eating it and you're getting strong. You're like Popeye. You're eating your spinach and you're getting strong. And your mind, and you're changing. And you're seeing what you couldn't see before. And you're understanding what you couldn't understand before. And your spirit just growing. And your mind getting renewed. And your spirit growing. And your thinking's changing. And your spirit's growing. And together they say, now body, get in line with us right now. And the body has no choice but to say, okay. Now, I have just described to you prosperity. You have prospered in your spirit. What's that called? Born again. You have prospered in your soul. Renewed your mind. Now you've prospered in your physical body. It'll now be healthy. It'll do what it's supposed to do because the life, the Zoe life, is now flowing from a well-nourished spirit into a renewed mind, into your physical body. But people really don't. Can it really get in your body? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Woohoo. Somebody said, I thought we were going to be talking about money. Wait, listen here. We're talking about the root. That's fruit. That's fruit. You get your roots right, the fruit going to come. You ain't even got to really talk about that. All you got to do is wait. The fruit going to come. See, the problem is we focusing so much on the fruit, we forgetting about the root, and now we don't know where it come from. And we make a lot of faith mistakes and don't have no idea how to get it happening again. All right, watch this. Woo, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the Zoe life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our what? For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the Zoe life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. That'll drive cancer out. That'll drive distress out. That'll drive whatever's going on in your body. If you'll get your life force in your spirit and get your mind renewed, that Zoe life will travel from your born again spirit man, and it'll get on your body and make it line up with the life of God. The life of God will now start supplying in every area where there's a need. You hear what I just said? Yes. Zoe life will start supplying in every area where there's a need. Amen. That's exactly what it did with Adam. But we've got to feed on it to sustain it. We've got to feed on it. It's the word of God and us feeding on that word that's going to cause us to be that way. In fact, let's go over to 3 John chapter 2. 3 John chapter 2. Now, if a man doesn't understand that, all he'll do is try to operate principles without understanding where the real power come from. 3 John verse 2. Now, how do I withdraw this abundance that has been deposited? 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish or pray above all things that thou mayest what? Prosper and be in health even as thy what? The Amplified says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way and that your body may keep well. All right. Now that you may prosper in every way. So that must mean that there are many ways that a person can prosper other than just money. Huh? To say that prosperity is just material and financial would be incorrect, because he says, I pray that you may prosper in every way. So money is one of those ways to prosper. But then he talks about prospering in your health, that you may, your body might keep well. Even as I know that your soul keeps well and it prospers. Oh, my goodness. So prosperity, based on this scripture, is covering a whole gamut of things in our lives. I am prospering in my spirit. It's called born again. I'm prospering in my mind, my will, my emotions. I'm prospering in my physical body. That's called health. I'm prospering in my relationships. I'm prospering in my marriage. That's called peace. And I'm prospering financially. To say that I am prosperous just because you've got a healthy bank account, but you're dying of cancer, all you are is just a poor man with money in the bank, because you still need to prosper your physical body's concerned. Or you can have no money in the bank and a healthy body. You're still a poor man, with a healthy body, but you ain't got no money. Or you can have money in the bank and a healthy body, but you're so doggone mean, don't nobody want to have nothing to do with you. You're just a poor man with a healthy body and money in the bank. To really be prosperous and to really be rich. You remember what in Revelation chapter 3 Jesus was talking? He says, you say you're rich because you have a whole lot of things. He said, but I say you're poor and you're wretched. Wait a minute. How did that guy say I'm rich because I had a whole lot of things? You want to see that? Let's look at that right quick. We got 2 hours. Let's take our time. Ain't no. Why are we rushing? Come on. What do you say there now? Look at Revelation 3. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of no thing, nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what we've got to do is we've got to understand the definition of rich and poor based on the Bible and not based on this world system. Jesus said, you got a lot of stuff and you say you're rich, but he says, I say you're poor. Well, obviously he was lacking something. Go to Luke chapter 4. Let me, while we're here, might as well go and deal with it. Luke chapter 4. Verse 18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now watch this semicolon followed by a list of the category referred to as the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted poor, to preach deliverance to the captive poor, the recovering of sight to the blind poor, and to set at liberty them that are the bruised poor. Notice poor was not just defined as lacking money. Notice that in each of those areas, they lacked something. Whether it was health or sound heart, they lacked something. So to be poor is not only to lack money because you lack something there, but it's to lack other things. You can be poor in spirit, poor in health. Well, so likewise, to be rich cannot just be defined by the bank account. To be rich means to be whole. When you hear rich, think whole. Because having a lot of things and having no peace doesn't make you rich. Rich, I'm going to say rich, you say whole. When I say rich, you say whole. Rich.
Whole.
Rich.
Whole.
When I say rich, you say whole. Rich.
Whole.
Rich.
Whole.
And that's how I want you thinking. That when you think rich, you think whole. Whole. Wholeness. Nothing is missing and nothing is broken. That's what makes you rich. That's why that man Jesus said wasn't rich, because he wasn't whole. He had a lot of things, but he wasn't whole. And if you're not whole by the Bible, you're not rich until you're whole. You got to be whole, whole in your spirit, whole in your soul, whole in your body, whole in your relationship, whole in your marriage, whole in your bank account, whole in every area. It's all good. That's Bible prosperity. The world wants to just limit it to finances. It includes money. You're not incorrect if you say money. You're just incomplete. Because it's not only money. Hallelujah. See, ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand something. Money is an amplifier. It'll amplify the character you possess when you get it. That's all they do. It will just enlighten what's already in your heart. If you commit adultery without no money, then you at Motel 6. But if I give you money, then you'll do it in the Bahamas. It's an amplifier. If you're already a fool, we give you more money, you're just a bigger fool. And the Bible says prosperity does what? Ruineth the fool. So it's an amplifier. So you got to have the right heart and the right connection and the right association with God. God's got to be with you, or you can be ruined just seeking things without understanding that wholeness is what we're seeking. Somebody shout, I'm seeking wholeness.
I'm seeking wholeness.
I'm seeking peace.
I'm seeking peace.
Hallelujah. Wholeness in every area, hallelujah. Yeah, get your health, get your wealth, get your money, get your relationships right, all good. You wanna be at home, enjoy the children, enjoy your relationship with your wife, house paid for, money in the bank, healthy body, filled with the joy of the Lord, pleasing God, that's whole, that's rich. You get it? Now, go back to 3 John. Hallelujah, glory to God. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. When you're rich, boy, you and your wife still on the honeymoon. What you say now? Had a guy who some things came up and he lost his big house and he had to move in a smaller house. But I walked in there, man, and he got four beautiful kids and they're just filled with love. And oh, it was just so precious, and his mother's still alive, and the whole house was crowded full of love. And I turned and looked at him and I said, "You're rich." He said, "How you gonna say this to me? And you see how bad I'm struggling to work." I said, "You're rich, boy." He said, "What?" I said, "You see all that? See them kids? See your son over there? See all that love they got? Boy, you rich." Because the one first thing he said is, "I'm broke." I said, "No, you're rich. Don't say, why would you want to curse yourself like that? Boy, don't say you're broke. You're rich. Start off in the areas that are rich. The money area will be affected. It'll be affected by all that other stuff. That anointing will come off those other areas that are rich. You're healthy. You're rich with your children. You're rich in love. You're rich in relationships. The money coming around, bro. Just keep working. Just tap into that Zoe. You're bound to get $1 million wisdom idea after a while. But don't go cursing it by saying, "Well, you know, I'm broke. I ain't got no money. How you gonna say I'm rich?" You're rich. Now, 3 John 2. "I pray above all things that you may prosper, be in health, even as your soul is made up of your mind, of your will, and your emotions. Your soul is made up of your thinker, your feeler, and your chooser." Your mind has to prosper and be successful as a result of the Word of God. The Word of God will have an effect on your will. It will have an effect on your emotions. The Word of God in your mind will cause you to have holy emotions. Hallelujah. Instead of negative emotions that move you away from the will of God. Your mind being possessed by the Word of God. So in other words, my soul must prosper. My soul must prosper with that word that has Zoe life in it. If my soul doesn't prosper, I won't see prosperity. My soul prospers by the renewing of my mind with the Word of God. So my soul prospers when I get in the Word. When I renew my mind with the Word. When that Word causes me to change. Now the Word of God is the highway to the world of wealth. The Word of God is the highway to the world of wealth. It's the gateway to the world of wealth. The prosperity of your soul by the Word of God is what results in your outward prosperity in life. Are you listening to me? Yes. The prosperity of your soul with the Word of God is what results in the outward prosperity that you'll have in your living. But now you know why. It's that Zoe life in that word. It's that Zoe life in that word. You have to get that word because it's the Zoe life in that word that's going to sustain you. That's going to take care of you. Praise God. Now, go to Joshua chapter 1 and 8. Joshua chapter 1 and 8. I want to show you something here. The word. Verse 8. Let's read verse 8 out loud together. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to that all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The Amplified says that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. That's coming from meditating in the Word of God, which is where the Zoe life has been deposited. And if you can get that Zoe life squeezed out of that Word, working for you, working in you, eventually working on your mind, making you more intelligent, giving you wisdom to deal wisely in the affairs of the world, that Zoe life begins to work on even on the outside of your physical body, your mortal flesh. You see the background on this? You're squeezing that Word. You're meditating in the Word, praise God. And your outward living is going to be affected by this Word that you're renewing your mind with. Now, I have been, praise God, pretty beat up forever thinking about preaching on prosperity. But Kenneth and Gloria were beat up before I was beat up. So I figured if you're going to be in the family, you got to get beat up. But just because people say what they say, it's not going to change our minds about it. It's in the Word. It's in the Word. I don't care what anybody says. It doesn't make any difference. I don't care what CNN says about it, whatever. It doesn't make any difference. I mean, it was so funny that they were talking about the father of prosperity. I don't know father, no prosperity. You just ain't never met a preacher that it was working for. And he's taking money from poor people. I ain't taking no money. Any excuse. I mean, that devil has worked and put in extensive time to come up with ways to try to put fear in you concerning this thing of prosperity. All preachers want is your money. That is a devilish slogan from the pit of hell. Oh, preachers want your money. And you know I got to have it. I mean, listen, these people, my last name, Dollar. Check it out. I go into church. What's your name? Reverend Dollar. Feel a ripoff coming on. They had all kinds of stuff. Instead of calling me Pastor Dollar, they said Pass a Dollar. Wasn't gonna make me stop preaching. But now think about that devilish slogan. What is it? How come you don't ever hear anybody say all Walmart wants is your money? How come you don't ever hear nobody say all Kroger's wants is your money? Why, in fact, go ahead and do the test. You go in one of the Kroger stores and buy you some milk and some cereal, and come out the front and don't pay no money. Just don't pay no money for it. Just tell them, I know you desire for me to have a nutritious breakfast. And you will learn immediately, no, that's not what we desire. We desire that money to come out your pocketbook and pay for this cereal and milk. So in reality, that's all really what they want is your money. But now how did they get on preachers like that? Because the devil knew of the scripture that says, trust in your prophet, so shall you prosper. And he wants to do everything he can to get you not to trust in men and women of God so that he can affect your prosperity. He wants to use the news media and everybody to take one or two people who didn't do the right thing with money and make everybody else look like the same crook that they caught somewhere else. Ladies and gentlemen, whether you like it or not, your prosperity is in our mouth. Well, who do you think you are? Yeah, your prosperity is in our mouth. Because it's what we understand that we bring forth from God's word to deposit the Zoe life in your life. And that's why I remember the day when I made my mind up to preach this. I could no longer go to my church. There were people who were losing their jobs. There were people who were on welfare. There were people who were struggling.
And I knew what the word of God had to say about prosperity. But I wasn't going to preach it because they said, now, if you preach that now, I'll tell you what, everybody will come against you. But how could I not preach it? It's just like a guy who's dying of sickness and disease and me not preach on healing. When I had my practice, there was this guy who was, he's gone. His brain was fried. And I was at the hospital, and we had certain regulations that we had to follow by, and it's important to follow those regulations. But he asked me one day, he said, do you think I have any hope of recovering any of my senses and living a normal life? I just looked at him. He says, come on, be honest. You're a preacher, too. Now, come on. I said, well, no, not in the natural. He said, why'd you answer like that? Is there a way that exists somehow? And I said, now look, don't tell nobody. But, and I said, I'm not supposed to do this now. I said, but I honor the call of my life more than my occupation. See, a career, you have to pay for. A calling, you're born with. You understand what I'm saying? And I said, yes, there is a way. He says, how? I said, boy, if you'll get born again and filled with the Spirit of God, he'll come and affect your mind, and he'll do all kinds of wonderful things that these people and the medication you're taking, it ain't. He said, well, I want it. I said, when? He said, now, where you going? I said, all right. Lock the door. I am serious. And I prayed, and I led him to the Lord. And I mean, when he got saved, he jumped up. Whoa! I'm healed. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, just you're saved. Talk to you later. He says, what do I do now? I said, well, start off in St. John and read the word, and I'll bring you some tapes and just keep this thing, you know. Then he came to me at the end of the week. He says, I was reading this Bible, and I keep reading about power of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. And you know anything about that? I'm like... I said, yeah. He said, well, I want it. I said, yeah. So we went in the room, locked the door. I laid hands on. I mean, that boy was hungry. I laid hands on. I couldn't get received out before he was praying in tongues. Whoa! Man, I'm healed. So he had a... It wasn't even my patient. He had a appointment with his physician, and he said, boy, you're really doing well. He said, a lot of things are going. You've never done that before, and we gave you the test, and you're doing good on that. Well, what's going on with you? He says, I'm healed. Doctor said, who told you that? You can never be healed. You got to keep working at this. He said, Creflo Dollar. I said, So I got called to the medical director's office. And before I met with him, I met with my immediate supervisor. She says, now, you've got these kids going up talking about they're saved. And now they're saying that they're healed. And I want to look at it and say, and what? She says, you know what? We can't do that. It looks like we're going to probably have to terminate you for this. I said, well, you know, I don't think y'all going to be able to do that because God wanted me here in the first place. I said, but we'll just kind of see, whatever. And so I got in the medical director's office. And he shook my hand and said, sit down. He said, I heard about what you did. I said, yeah, I'm guilty as charged. He said, do you know he has not performed this way since he was admitted? And we can't figure out what you did. I said, well, I just prayed the prayer of faith and he got saved. And then he got filled with the Spirit of God and he started speaking in tongues. And he says, whatever.
Because he didn't want to say it.
Whatever. He said, here's what I want to do. Do you think you could do that in both of the units?
I said, oh, Sookie, Sookie now, baby.
Shaka Zulu, what's up?
Now, he said, now, we can't make people come, but we can have an optional group where they can come and you can minister to that stuff to them. But it's got, you know, they got to come on their own. I said, well, that's fine with me. And guess what? Everybody came. Everybody came. I was preaching the gospel. The therapy book was out the window. Glory to God. They were getting off their medications, being discharged. And instead of me getting fired, Zoe Life prospered me so that I can prosper somebody else. Oh, man. All right, now, why did I share this? Go back to Luke chapter 4.
Who have you been talking to? Same thing that God said to Adam. We were talking about
this. Oh, yeah.
He said, who have you been talking to?
Yeah. They said, the doctor, like, who have you been talking to? Gloria said, that's the same thing God said to Adam. Who you been talking to? Same thing. So whoever you're talking to is framing the way you think. And part of your change in order to prosper, you're going to have to, yeah, I'll do that, Lord. Seven things you got to do to change. Number one. Seven things you got to do to change. Number one, you got to make a decision. You got to make a decision to change. Number two, you got to have a desire to change. You got to decide you're going to change. And then you got to have a desire to change. You ain't going to never change because somebody else desires for you to change. You got a desire to change. Remember the guy in John chapter 5 who was at the pool of Bethesda? Remember the first thing Jesus said? He had been afflicted for 38 years. Jesus didn't say how you were doing. Jesus didn't say none of that. Remember the first thing Jesus said? Do you want it? Because ain't no use us hanging around if you don't have a desire to change. Number three, if you're going to change, you got to deepen your knowledge base. You got to deepen your knowledge base. You're going to have to do some studying, read some books, and go to the net, and you got to deepen your knowledge base. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You got to deepen your knowledge base in that area you're trying to change in. That's why these conventions are here, so you can deepen your knowledge base, listening to tapes and reading. Number four, diligence. You got to diligently apply the truths you've learned day after day. You change or renew your spirit of your mind through diligence. Diligently thinking those new thoughts. Diligently seeking those new things. Number five, you want to change? You've got to defend your mind against old thoughts. You keep hearing the devil tell you you're going to be broke like your daddy and you ain't going to beat it. No, you got to defend your mind. You got to capture those thoughts. And you don't capture thoughts with thoughts. You capture thoughts with words. When a bad thought or a negative thought that goes into the word of God comes into your mind, you got to open your mouth and speak God's word and capture it. Number six, and this is why I did this, you got to disassociate from the past. And that may mean that the biggest change you have to make is who you hang around. That may mean that you might have to change some of those relationships that you hold into so hard. You just want to believe it's just going to work. It's just going to work. But ladies and gentlemen, you may feel comfortable with some of your old ties, but you may never get to the place that God wants you to take hanging around those old relationships. And some of them may be relatives.
And then number seven, you got to depend on God and others for support. You got to depend on God and others for support. That's the process of change. See, people love change, the results, but they hate change, the process. If I give you a box and on the box there's this beautiful cake, we love that cake, but behind every box is a recipe. And you got to understand the recipe. You just can't desire what's on the front. You got to understand the recipe. Oh, yes, amen. So you got to discern who's framing the way you think. That's what he said to Abraham. Get off among these Chaldeans, these selfish Chaldeans that are framing the way you think. You're in this tent surrounded by selfish people. Get out from among them. Go to a place where I tell you. You can't hang around broke, poor mouth people. And all they want to do is tell you how broke you ought to be, and you don't need this and you don't need that. They limit you. And as long as you're under that tent, when you look up, you're just going to see the roof of that tent. But as soon as Abraham got up under that tent, he can look beyond the tent to the stars. Who's limiting you? Who are you hanging around limiting you, telling you you can't you do this, you can't do that? I refuse to be limited. I refuse to be limited. I'm starting 500 satellite churches. I got three of them up and running. Somebody said, what, 500? Yeah, 500. 500 at a theater near you. Got me a wonderful system together and got in a relationship with some folks, and I'm going to beam it down at a theater near you. I'm taking over the theaters. Glory to God. On Sunday mornings. Sunday morning, you'll be able to go to a theater near you and see my black face on big widescreen TV doing what I'm getting ready to show you right now. I'm going to show you why. Quit waiting on somebody else to do your changing for you. You're going to do what you got to do. Oh, what you say now? Y'all read Luke 4? All right, look at this now. Now, this is so important. Verse 18. I know we read it, but now watch this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to do what? To do what? To do what? Preach the gospel. He's anointed me to do what? Notice that prosperity is preached. You don't pray for it. You don't fast for it. You preach it. Look at Mark chapter 11. Verse 4 and 5. Now, this is so important. Mark 11, verse 4 and 5. Oh, now watch this now. Did I say Mark or Matthew? Let's try Matthew. Matthew. 11. You remember this story here about John the Baptist? Verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto him, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk, the leopards are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. All right, now watch this. What's the solution for the blind? Sight. What's the solution for the lame? Walk. Solution for the leper? Be cleansed. Solution for the deaf? Hear. Solution for the dead? Raised up. But for the poor, gospel preach. Preach word. In other words, here is the solution for those who are in lack. It's got to be preached. Somebody's got to preach it. That's the very thing that the devil's trying to stop. He doesn't want nobody to preach this gospel, because if it's not preached, then words won't come. And if words won't come, then you won't receive it. Then if you don't receive those words, then you ain't getting no Zoe deposited on the inside of you. He wants to shut me up and every other preacher up that wants to talk to you about your prosperity. He wants to make us all look like a bunch of no good for nothing crooks. But hear my hands to God Almighty. I will preach this gospel until Jesus comes back. You don't pray for prosperity. Listen, you preach it. It's got to be preached. And I know that lots of people don't want to hear it. I mean, you go to some places and you tell them, I'm going to preach on the undeniable laws of prosperity. They get their little purses and stick their little finger up and walk right on out. And that's why they broke, busted, and disgusted, because they won't sit down long enough to hear it preach. And if it's not preached, faith won't come. And if they ain't got no faith, then they ain't going to be able to do nothing, because it's got to be preached. And the day we stop preaching prosperity, then you ain't prospering. It's got to be preached. Well, I don't think he ought to be preaching on prosperity when people are going through what they're going through. Dear God, you don't even know what it is. You think I'm just preaching on money. I mean, that's what they say. I mean, go to your internet. That's what they say. Oh, Brother Dollar preaches on his money. That's a lie. That just proves you don't even hear what I say. You don't watch my broadcast. You don't come to my church. You just taking the same old laugh rumor somebody else said, and then you ain't even investigating yourself. You ain't even been there before. Well, I tell you what, I heard you have to have your W-2 form before you can get in the church. Well, I heard they have a money cash machine in the lobby. That ain't a bad idea. We don't have one, but that ain't a bad idea. Well, I heard that you had to be of a certain economic level before they let you come to that church.
Just anything they can say to keep you away from it. And if I was the devil, I'd do the same lie. I wouldn't want nobody to hear the gospel preached. But ladies and gentlemen, we got to be smarter than that. And I guess they thought, and then they, you know, all the, you know, my people got on me and talking about, I tell you what, he needs to be more like Martin Luther King.
You didn't hear Martin Luther King talking about prosperity all the time.
Well, see, he was called to talk about what he was called to talk about. And I was called to talk about what I was called to talk about. And I'm going to talk about what I was called to talk about and not marry a method.
I tell you what, I ain't gonna go to that Dollar Man's church. You better be careful, man. He might talk that money out your pocket.
I mean, I'm gonna give you some credit for having some intelligence and have some free moral agency to make up your own mind to do what you want to do.
Well, I tell you, I just don't think a preacher ought to drive a nice car.
Well, I'm glad we don't live by what you think. Hallelujah. I'm glad we live by the word of God. The just shall live by faith, praise God. And they've been going on and on and on. When I started the church in New York, oh, they had a hissy fit. I bought a little apartment about the size of a closet. Cost $2.5 million. Cost us in Manhattan. Ain't nothing cheap in Manhattan. I had to have a place to change my clothes. I bought it with my money.
Well, I'll tell you what, that dollar having church at Madison Square Garden, do you know how much it costs to have church at Madison Square Garden?
Because when we first started, they said, well, you know, I give them a month. They ain't going to be able to afford to stay there. Been 3 years.
Hallelujah.
You don't shut up just because somebody got a problem with it. Because at the end of the day, when it get hard, that's who they're going to come to. Somebody that know how to work it. And they thought I'd get upset. The state politicians. Somebody brought, well, I think we ought to name this bridge after Creflo Dollar. Another one said, no, I don't think we ought to name a bridge after some money-grubbing preacher. And they voted against naming the bridge after me. So you know what I did? I built my own bridge. I built my own bridge right around across the street. And I didn't name it after myself, but I just wanted them to know I don't need their bridge. I can build my own bridge. Build my own bridge, put in my own red light, got my own street. When the commissioner was asked about it, he said, don't ask me. Pastor Dollar paid for all that. It's got to be preached. You got to hear it preached. You got to meet some people who walk that walk. Hallelujah. Not just talk it. You got to meet some people who know how it works. You got to meet some God, Holy Ghost filled people who know how to prosper, because God is with them. And when the Lord is with you, you will prosper. What you say? You preach it. Some of these preachers and old sissified preachers let some newspaper scare you because somebody said something nasty about you. We're going to Canada in a few weeks. And I got a call saying, now, make sure you don't say anything about homosexuality or we're going to cut your broadcast off and you're going to jail. I said, oh, no, you didn't try to tell me what to preach. I looked at Taffy. I said, Taffy, doesn't he understand that every man of God needs to go to jail at least one time to complete his portfolio? Jail? You think that's going to scare me? That's just going to add to my portfolio. Jail? What you talking about? You put me in jail, I'm going to sit there with a pad and say, Paul, I made it, bro. You weren't the only one. Look here. Look here. I'm going to do some writing, too. Because if the Holy Ghost tells me to address the issue, then you might as well put a pill in there with my name on it. I got to do what God says to do. Your law may say one thing, but I live by a higher level. It's the word of God. And that word will prosper me and it'll take care of me, praise God. You put me in jail, I figure that's just somebody that it needs to be preached to. And I just called my spiritual mom and said, hey, mom. She said, hey, Creflo. I said, guess what I am? I'm in jail. And she'll probably say, well, glory to God. See, most of the world thinks something wrong with you when people are talking about you wrong. I think the other. I think, man, that guy must be something. Because they talked about Jesus like that. They ridicule him like that. But see, now we got marketing and PR agents now to protect our image. Amen. All right, now let's get on down here. Y'all got the gut and meat of this thing now. Now, it's the word that delivers men out of poverty. It's the word that delivers men out of poverty. Anybody from Uganda in here? Yeah, just about a month or so ago, we had a meeting over in Uganda at the soccer stadium. And, oh, I'd say what, about 125,000 people showed up that night in that stadium. More, I don't know. I quit counting when I peeked out the window and said, oh, Jesus, where are these people coming from? And I had a chance to sit down and meet with the first lady and the first family. And they said, you know, we've been praying for oil. I mean, believers love God. And I was asked to come and preach on prosperity. I said, you mean somebody want me to come preach on prosperity? For real? To talk about it? And I spent 2 hours in that stadium walking them step by step by prosperity, because I wanted that country to understand that prosperity wasn't just money. It was a relationship. After that meeting that night, I had a chance to address all of the ministers and begin to teach them on what prosperity was about. Then I had the chance to address the business leaders in that country. And then before I left, I had a chance to address Parliament and to set up a 7-point economic plan on what to do with this newfound wealth that is coming to the country. And the word of the Lord came and said, because you have made me Lord of this country, I will show the rest of the world how I will exalt a nation that has crowned me their God.
Hallelujah.
And you watch the pearl of Africa rise strong. You watch what happens. They have the number one AIDS prevention program in all of Africa. Do you know what it was? It wasn't condoms. It was preaching good, the way you're supposed to act, godly character. It was preaching this, and they have the number one AIDS prevention in all of Africa. Not because they tell you to use the condom, but they tell you to honor God's word and honor and respect one another and walk in character. That's prosperity. And the minister of finance got on television that week when I was there, and here's his report. Prosperity for all Uganda. And they looked at me and they said, Brother Dollar, you look like your relatives came from Uganda. I said, prosperity for all Uganda? I'm a Ugandan. Praise God. It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. But it's got to be preached. It's got to be preached. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing what? By the word of God. So prosperity is preached. Now the word, let's talk practically what happens. Go to Luke chapter 8. Man, I got 2 hours. I ain't off the first page yet. Luke 8 and 11. Now the parable is this, Jesus said. The seed is the word of God. I'm going to take you through an area here. The seed is what?
The word of God.
The seed is what?
The word of God.
So the word acts like seed. The word of God is God's eternal seed that controls all form of increase in all realms of life, health, family, marriage, and finance. The word of God acts like a seed. The word of God is God's eternal seed that controls all form of increase in every realm of life. So, prosperity is word seed determined, not money seed determined. Follow me now. Prosperity, financial prosperity, is word seed determined, not money seed determined. The word is the origin of all prosperity. All prosperity begins in your soul. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. All prosperity is word seed determined and not just money seed
determined. Let me give you an illustration so you can gain concept of this. Let's say you are we have a Baptist preacher who does not believe in financial prosperity, but he gives in the offering every Sunday. He has never experienced a financial increase. But wait a minute, he gives in the offering every Sunday. He's never experienced a financial increase. Why? Why? No faith in the word and no revelation of the word. And so as a result of it, it's the word of God that's responsible for increase in every round. So even though you give money, it is the word seed that determines the future of your money seed. So you can plant seed and not have no word to back it up, then your money seed doesn't have a future. In fact, we give money seed because we faith people, we are motivated by the word seed to give money seed. But there's a guy who's given money seed and he's not seeing the fullness of his harvest because he thinks that his harvest is going to come just from his money seed when it is the word seed that determines increase, not just money seed. Does everybody understand that? You see, money is only worth something when it's turned into what? Goods and services. So money isn't... Money is for loving. Think on that now. You don't use people to get things. You use things to bless people. You following the right attitude here? You don't use people to get things. Well, you know, Doc, we had about 5,000 came. You know, yeah, we're going to get that money. We're going to get that money. That's the wrong attitude, Doc. That's the wrong attitude. I mean, what are you going to... What things are you going to use to bless people? If you bless people and if you minister to people, things will grow. The church will grow. You don't get involved in manipulation. Manipulation is a form of witchcraft. And there are a lot of witches in the pulpit. That's all I got to say about that. I think at this point would be a good place to really spend some time defining prosperity. Let's talk about what it is and what it is not. We've already established that money by itself cannot define prosperity, right? Money by itself cannot define prosperity. We're talking about prosperity in every realm. True prosperity is the ability to meet the needs of mankind in any realm of life. True prosperity, the ability to meet the needs of mankind in any realm of life. It's making good progress in the pursuits of anything desirable. True prosperity will always, always go beyond you. It'll be ruined if it's dealt with selfish hands. True prosperity will always go beyond you. You remember the scripture, First Timothy chapter 6 and 10. Of course, most people say it like this. Most people say, well, you know, brother, the Bible says, money is the root of all evil. You know what you just did when you said that? You just proved to me you don't read your Bible. Because that's not at all what it says. It does not say that money is the root of all evil. And I hear preachers saying that. You hear everybody saying, now, you know, the Bible says, and then they all of a sudden want to go to the Bible. Like the Bible says, money is the root of all evil. That's not what 1 Timothy 6 and 10 says. He says the love of money is the root of all evil, or a wrong relationship with the material world is the root of all evil. Money is not evil. You want to know what's evil? Not having no money, that's evil. You ask your wife if she got nappy hair and you ain't got no money to send her to the hairdresser. It's an evil thing to walk around with cuckabugs in your head. It's evil. That's evil. You let it get cold up here, a snowstorm up here in Milwaukee, and you ain't got no money to pay the heat bill. That's evil to be sitting up there cold. It's evil not to be able to eat, and you shaking because you hungry, and all of, looking at all the cereal boxes trying to get you something to eat. That's an evil thing not to have no money. Money's neither good or bad. It depends on whose hand is in. I don't understand, folks. What a hypocritical society. Get mad at you as a Christian for prospering, and that's all they're trying to do themselves. Don't mind Oprah having $1 billion. Creflo get $1 billion, then you upset. You can get upset because I'm getting my billion. I ain't studying you. Get mad as you want to. You get mad and resurrect the N-word. I don't care. I'm going to do what pleases God. And I just don't think no preacher ought to have money. He must be just getting it from the plate. How come I can't be intelligent enough? Because I know how ignorant people are. How come I can't just be intelligent enough, be smart enough to know how to invest it? Hey, I might have 2 or 3 businesses you don't know nothing about. Dollar rental car and dollar store. You don't know who owns that. You might be buying my products all the time. Like I'm going to tell you. You don't know? You've heard of the new investment company, CRE, Cref. You don't know where that came from. Creflo. You don't even understand. Like I'm going to just tell you everything. You might be wearing my drawers. Don't even know it. I made them. You have no idea. Why is it that when a preacher prospers, it's got to be because he stole it? But when everybody else prospers, it's got to be because they're talented and they're just so wonderful. Oh, just wonderful. Oh, you just, ooh, you, ooh, I can't believe I'm there with you. Just. All right. Psalms 35:27. Let's go there. Boy, I tell you, I got 20 hours of this stuff. Just flat out let her rip, you know?
Let it go, brother. We're ready.
You know what? I believe it. If there's any place in the world that I believe would sit here for 20 hours, it's Milwaukee. I believe that. I do. Because something right with y'all. Something is seriously right with y'all. Y'all greedy. I ain't never met a bunch of greedy. Y'all greedy. And they told me the Great Lakes area is supposed to be like the Catholic. Make me Catholic. Is this what Catholic is? What? Greedy.
More word.
Greedy, boy. Y'all just greedy. That's what you is. Just greedy. I love it too, boy. I'm greedy just like you. We just greedy together. Just suck all that word up. You know why? Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. You hearing something. You getting ready to walk out of here, man. You'll never be broke another day in your life. Your broke days are over with. Hallelujah. You getting ready to tell lack bye-bye. You getting ready to walk in abundance. You're getting ready to do all that God has showed you can do. Hallelujah. You're getting ready for a blessing explosion. What you say? Gonna be blessed in your going in and blessed in your coming out. Gonna be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Something getting ready to happen. My God, the angels right now are taking care of business because you're sitting in here listening to the word of God, and God is. is on the move. God is on the move. God is on the move. My goodness. What you say? Oh, my goodness.
Glory to God.
You know it just like I know it. It's just something different about this time. You sense it all on the inside of you. You smell breakthrough. You can't be held back no more. Your boss can't hold you back no more. The economy can't hold you back no more. Situations and circumstances can't hold you back anymore. You're not gonna be held back no more. And I don't care what job you got. You can be a maid cleaning floors. But because the Lord is with you, he gonna prosper you just like he prospered Joseph. If he didn't mean it, he should have never said it. But if he said it, he'll do it. And it will come to pass. I said it will come to pass. You stir yourself up right now, man. You stir your faith up right now. You stir the Zoe life of God in you right now. You get yourself stirred up. Hallelujah. You look in the mirror and you remind yourself who you are and whose you are. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah, yeah, hallelujah. Yeah, yeah. Woo, glory. Oh, glory. You can't hang around this word and until that word starts getting on the inside of you and it gets to stirring you up, man, and it gets to putting you in remembrance and things started happening on the inside because you know that God cannot lie. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Go ahead and turn to two people and tell them, I'll never be broke another day in my life. Hallelujah. 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 My broke days are over. 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 Ooh. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory, glory. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, glory, 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 glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Somebody say, what just happened? Just a praise break. Just a praise break. Just to let that devil know if you planning anything, we just paralyze you right there. You ain't gonna do nothing. Just a praise break. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Come on, let's operate by faith. Somebody shout, I'm out of debt.
My needs are met.
I have plenty more
to put in store.
I am in. The blessing explosion. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Well, bless his holy name. 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 Hallelujah, glory be to God. 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 Oh, ha, 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 ha. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Well, hallelujah, glory be to God. Well, hallelujah, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Halamboshe kekekere bobo shanda de baha. Well, hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Well, bless his holy name. Well, bless his holy name. Well, bless his holy name. Ooh. Ooh, Jesus. Ooh, Jesus. Ooh, Jesus. Well, hallelujah. Well, bless his holy name. Shendele le bahas. Shendele le beke shete de baha. Ande de go. De 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 gigidaha. Halala ma sheke keke de ba. He lele gege gabanga gabaha. Halala mo shete de. Oh, wait, I hear something. I hear the sound of abundance. Ooh, Jesus. Ooh, Jesus. Oh, we need to praise the Lord. Do whatever the Lord tell you to do. Do whatever the Lord tell you to do. Let's just praise him a little bit in here.